that has all of the information. So through Treasury, it's treasury.gov/cares.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for joining us today for our SBA podcast. Just a little side note, this is probably the longest podcast we have done, but I tell you, it is worth every minute of listening to it. So please stay tuned. Also note, the deadline is June 30th. Listen for more information and you'll understand why. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. Today, we have two guests with us as we continue our journey on the road to reopening Massachusetts. As you know, small businesses are a vital part, not only in the U.S., but in our case, specifically in Massachusetts, infrastructure, and getting them back on their feet is very vital right now. Today, our guests are joining us from the U.S. Small Business Administration. We have with us Bob Nelson, the Massachusetts District Director, and Eli Spayu, the Lead Lender Specialist. So welcome to you both.
Good morning. It's fantastic to be with you. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. So we talked a little bit earlier, and a good quote was brought up, and I think Eli, you were the one that brought it up and said about somebody has been saying to you about building the plane as you fly it, and then Christy had said while you're in the air, actually. Kind of in a nutshell as to what you guys have been dealing with the past couple months. So obviously you've been very busy and neither of you have probably stopped, right?
I can tell you, it really has been amazing. And it's been 3 months now, if you really think about it. So Massachusetts got its statewide declaration on March 18th. We started accepting economic injury disaster loans at that point, but then you jump to March 27th. That's when the CARES Act was signed, and we were charged with implementing a brand new program in getting it launched in less than a week, and we did it. And it really is amazing when you think back, because the SBA, we're a small agency. You know, in Massachusetts, including myself, I have a staff of 13 people. And, you know, across the country, you know, there's over 30 million small businesses. And here in Massachusetts, over 650,000 small businesses. And all of them have been dramatically impacted by the virus and this disaster. But with the PPP program in round one and round two, you know, we've been able to approve over 4.6 million applications, which is really amazing when you think of the amount of time and the effort of so many lenders and so many people, but the impact on the small businesses with getting that capital. And so 4.6 million approvals represents $513 billion. So it really is very significant. You know, I don't have to tell you, small businesses are a critical part of the economy. It represents, you know, depending on how you look at it, across the United States, 99% of all businesses are small by SBA size standard. In Massachusetts, it's 98 to 99%. You know, 500 employees or less, but you know, there, you're, as we've talked, you know, there, you have your grocery stores, your gas stations, but you have your manufacturers, and you know, so businesses can be, you know, pretty large, but still be small by SBA size standard, and you know, we have programs that are helping, you know, small businesses and private nonprofits to survive and to hopefully recover from this disaster that we've all been experiencing.
Yeah.
And just to add, you know, to add to that, Haley, you know, just, you know, we love numbers and we get excited when we talk about numbers. But here in Massachusetts, you know, the PPP loan program has helped 107,000 small businesses, you know, so $28 billion and counting. So that's a large number of small businesses. You know, we didn't even know we had that, you know, that many who were were impacted. But nevertheless, we've got, you know, we've got the EIDL loan program as well that has approved, you know, nationwide, we've got over a million applications approved. And here in Massachusetts, you know, we've got over 25,000 applications approved under the EIDL loan program. So definitely great success. But, you know, the one thing that we do want to start the conversation with is we have over $120 billion still available on the PPP program. And we want folks who are listening, if they have not taken advantage of the PPP loan program, definitely, you know, we're going to be talking more about this, but there's money available, but there's little time. So June 30th is the ultimate, you know, final deadline that a small business can apply for a PPP loan. So I just want to stress that point. Plenty of funds available, not enough time.
Yeah. So, and we will talk about that a little bit further down. I have some other questions. Eli, can you kind of paint the picture of what a small business is and what the role actually is in the U.S. economy?
So, as Bob mentioned, you know, we've got over 30 million small businesses in the nation, and there truly are. I mean, not to sound like a politician, but that's the engine that drives the economy. There is no doubt about it. You know, they account for the largest number of jobs here in the economy. And the $512 billion that we have approved in PPP, they amount to about 50 million jobs. So if you think about it, this one program, which, you know, it's a large program, not by our standards, but if you think about it, it was a $660 billion program just for the small businesses under the PPP. And as I said, the funds that we have dispersed so far, you know, represent 50 million jobs. You look at the May unemployment numbers, and there's no doubt that without the help from the agency through the PPP loan program, the unemployment numbers may have resembled, you know, the numbers from the Great Depression era. So again, just going back to the small businesses, you know, as Bob mentioned, we have a pretty large size standard as far as what qualifies as a small business. So the golden rule of thumb is 500 employees or less, but for manufacturing, that's not necessarily the case. So the sub-sector, you know, 31 through 33 of the NAICS codes, the North American Classification and Industrial Codes, it paints a picture of anywhere between 500 to 1,500 employees that a manufacturer could have, depending on what subsector they fall under, and still qualify as a small business under our size standards. So again, our size standards are pretty generous. We want to help small businesses, and the SBA is the best ally that a small business has through the government.
So, you obviously, from what you and Bob have both said, you definitely provide a lot of resources to the small businesses. So let's kind of dig in a little bit as to, you know, what we really want to go after today. You know, let's get into the guidance and loan resources that you offer. Are there, you know, any manufacturing specific information and examples, either one of you could jump in on this, that you can provide? It's been said that any business can make a go of it when things are good, and when there's bumps in the road and challenges arise that mark a business that can stand a test of time. So we're in, obviously, like you just said, with the numbers, you know, being close, you know, we're in a great, huge economic disruption, and it likely goes beyond the challenges that can test a business in what normal times, our old normal, not the new normal that we may have. But what funding options have been put in place to help the small businesses to be able to come through the COVID-19? We keep bringing up the PPP loans and, you know, the Express Bridge loans or debt relief. So, you know, can you give us a little bit more about the purpose of each and who should apply, and maybe an overview, and maybe just pick a couple that you feel are really going to impact? Obviously, our you know, biggest audience that we work with is our manufacturers, but if there's one of those, a couple of those that you might be able just to give us a little bit of insight on.
Yeah, so let me talk about the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, and then Eli can dig a little bit deeper into the PPP and the debt relief program. But the SBA's Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, this is a direct funded program through the government to help small businesses to survive and recover from a disaster. So, you know, with the SBA, you know, we're involved with helping with access to capital, with technical assistance, helping small businesses to be successful with government contracting, and disaster recovery has always been part of SBA's mission. So think of hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, you know, these are the normal disasters that SBA would get involved in to try to help small businesses and homeowners and renters to recover from. But, you know, no one has ever experienced a disaster like this where you have everyone in the entire country, all territories have disaster declarations. And so small businesses started applying for economic injury disaster loans with a statewide declaration in Massachusetts on March 18th. Again, it's a direct funded program. It's very different than the PPP program, and Eli will talk about some of the changes. But the disaster loan program, it provides capital to businesses so that they could make payments that they otherwise would have been able to pay had the disaster not occurred. So, you know, think of that they could use it to buy inventory. They could use it to pay payables. They could use it to make interest payments on some debt obligations. There's lots of working capital needs that small businesses have. And, you know, with the economic injury disaster loan, it's a 3.75% fixed interest rate for the life of the loan with terms of up to 30 years to try to make the payments as affordable as possible. The for loans of $25,000 or less, there's no collateral required. For all loans, SBA is not taking real property collateral. So with previous declarations, SBA would often take a junior position on a personal residence. That is not happening with this. So so the only collateral that we're taking on loans over $25,000 is a security interest in all business assets, and it doesn't matter what the position is. We take best available position. There's no personal guarantees required on loans under $200,000. So we really want to encourage small businesses to apply for the economic injury disaster loan. When we first opened up the portal, it was open to everyone. SBA has received over 5.4 million applications, which is really amazing when you think of it. That's the extent of the economic injury across the country with this disaster. And we've been streamlining our process, fine-tuning it, and applications and approvals are coming through pretty quick right now, where in Massachusetts we're seeing anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 approvals every day. And, you know, again, this is a lifeline to try to help these small businesses to recover. And it's so after SBA ran out of money with PPP round one, and that was within just under 2 weeks, we also needed to close down the economic injury disaster loan portal. We did get reappropriated funds. When we opened up the economic injury portal, we opened it up for just agricultural businesses. But just a couple days ago, it's been reopened to every small business and private nonprofit again. So it's back open. So if there are businesses or private nonprofits who did not apply for an economic injury loan, we suggest that you go in there now sooner rather than later, get your application into the queue so that you can potentially get some of this money. One of the nice benefits of the economic injury loan, when you go into that portal, there's a box that you can check to request what's called an advance grant. And that advance grant is calculated at $1,000 per employee up to $10,000 max. And like it's in its name, it's the grant, does not have to be repaid. A small business can go into the portal and request just the advance if they don't want the loan. And even if someone has declined for the loan, they're still eligible to get that advance grant. So again, the message on EIDL loans, economic injury disaster loans, is the portal is open. Get your application in. It'll probably take you only 15 minutes to get your initial application in. So it's not a heavy lift on the part of the small business to apply for these benefits.
And so, that's any small business, right? There's no, are there specific, like, do you have to qualify or anything along those lines? So if anybody out there listening is saying, oh, I'm going to apply for that, is there any but you need or anything along those lines?
It is for small businesses, but it's for, your profit small businesses and also your private nonprofits. There are certainly some ineligible small businesses. That list is relatively small, but we've certainly, have come out with guidance, and I would direct people to Treasury's website. So treasury.gov/cares or SBA's website, sba.gov/paycheck protection. All the information is there, FAQs, information on all the different recovery programs. It's all been published. And so as we talked about, whereas in the beginning, all these different things were being built on the fly, all the rules, are known for the most part. There's still questions and we're still waiting for guidance on different things. But for the most part, it's all published, it's all available. And again, if there are businesses out there who have questions and they want to connect with the SBA, what we ask them to do is to send us an email at massachusettsdo@sba.gov. The DO stands for district office. So massachusettsdo@sba.gov. Our entire team is answering those emails. And so get us your questions and we'll give you the best guidance that we have so that you can proceed with comfort.
Yeah. And of course we're going to, I'm going to do a Mass MEP plug here as well, but we were talking earlier that on our website at massmep.org, we actually have all this information listed as well. And the website or the page, sorry, on our website that is all about the SBA information. It was our number one viewed page. So hence what brought forth this podcast and why you're both here. And we have the information as well. So for those of our listeners that hopefully are subscribers and come back every week and listen to us, they'll know to go to massmap.org as well. So we're hitting them on every angle that we can pretty much at this point to get people to educate them so that they can educate themselves to move forward to know, oh, yes, I can apply and I can go forward with this and just give it a shot and see what you can do pretty much right now.
And to stress the point, so SBA, I have 13 people, including myself, but we're doing some amazing things. And the only way that we're doing the impacts that we do is because of partners like MassMEP and our other community partners out there. We're all in this together. And so appreciate what you're doing to get information out to the manufacturing community. It's really important. But, just to really stress, some of the other advantages of the economic injury disaster loan, it's a 12-month deferment that they don't have to make payments on it. There's no prepayment penalty. So if a business does take down the loan, they want to pay back some of it, or they decide that it's not for them, there's no penalty, but they don't have to worry about starting to make payments for a year after they get the funds for the EIDL loan. So it really is a wonderful program. It's all about recovery and trying to help these small businesses to recover and to get back to business.
That's great. So Eli, do you want to jump into the PPP loan? Because obviously it seems to me that these two loans are really the ones that our manufacturers and our audience is going to really want to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely, Haley. And before I talk about PPP specifically, there is another program out there called a debt relief program. So it's our best kept secret. And a lot of manufacturers are, if they do currently have any SBA, traditional SBA products, they would be eligible for the agency to make 6 months worth of principal and interest payments. So any manufacturer that already has either a 7A, a 504, obviously not a microloan, but if they do have a microloan on top of that, the government's going to make 6 months worth of principal and interest payments on behalf of the small business. So a great big advantage, of the debt relief program that was part of the CARES Act as well. To date, we have made over $2 billion in principal and interest payments for the existing portfolio. So we have, you know, nationally, we've got a very large portfolio, and manufacturers are a big component. So one of the things that I wanted to mention earlier is that in addition to the Office of Disaster Assistance that Bob talked about with the economic injury disaster loans in cases of emergencies, we provide counseling, we provide government contracting opportunities, and capital access to small businesses. So the capital access is the division that I cover, and under capital access, we provide this, you know, C&I type of loans called 7A, and we provide real estate for more tangible assets, machinery, equipment, real estate, commercial mortgages for businesses such as manufacturers. So our programs go all the way up to $5 million, but on the 504s, we go up to $5.5 million if certain requirements are met. So any new 7A or 504 loan, and this is a point that I do want to get across for the audience. Anybody who's got, you know, who's got real estate in their, you know, they own real estate, they operate out of their own, property, and they occupy more than 51% of the rentable, you know, square footage, they could qualify for an SBA-backed 504 loan. Okay. And we are now experiencing historically low interest rates. Rates are below 3% for a 25-year commercial mortgage. And on top of that, the agency is going to make, you know, 6 months worth of payments for that mortgage. So it's a great benefit, definitely something that the small business manufacturers could, you know, qualify for, and would definitely benefit tremendously from. So there is, again, time is of essence. So under the CARES Act, it was only for loans that are approved prior to September 27th of 2020. But the 504s work slightly different. So they have to be submitted by August 12th, you know, to our district council. So again, if any of the listeners, you know, they fall in the category where they are owner operators, they own the real estate they operate out of, they occupy more than 51%, and they don't have a 504 loan already, we do have a great 504 refinance option available to small businesses. Cannot stress enough, you know, the benefit not only for the payment, but the low interest rate available to small businesses. So, you know, the lion's share of our time has been spent on PPP for the past 3 months. You know, all the oxygen out of the room has been, you know, taken by the Paycheck Protection Loan Program. And as the name states, it is meant as a program to cover payroll expenses. So the Flexibility Act, which was passed on June 5th, made this program a lot more attractive, you know, to small businesses. So the upper limit is $10 million on the PPP loan program. The major benefit of it is that there is no collateral requirements, no personal guarantees of any sort. So it really isn't a loan as much as it is part of the stimulus pack. So it is a 1% loan if it does not get forgiven. So Bob mentioned, you know, the grants available through the EIDL program. The whole, you know, PPP loan can convert into a grant because it becomes forgiven, right? The full amount of the loan becomes forgiven if at least 60% of the money is spent on payroll costs, and the other 40% is spent on eligible non-payroll costs. Okay. So that includes mortgage interest, lease and rent payments, utilities, which manufacturers have plenty of, okay, you know, some transportation costs and things of that nature. So as long as the small business, you know, who's eligible by size standards, and, you know, for for-profit businesses, the size standard is generous. Again, we could use either the standard size by the NAICS code, or we can use, you know, what's called an alternative size standard. So to qualify them for the PPP, they could use, you know, the alternative size standard, which allows for up to $15 million of tangible net worth and $5 million of net income. So both those criteria have to be met, you know, for a small business that exceeds, right, the number of employees size standard. So if there are any manufacturers, you know, who are listening to the podcast, you know, feel free to reach out to us at the district office. Your lenders, you know, are well familiar with this PPP loan program. I mentioned earlier that we've had 19 interim final rules. You know, so the rules have changed. The program has changed, you know, since its launch on April 2nd, but it's all changed for the better. So we are now allowing small businesses 24 weeks to spend this money on. So not only was there a reduction of the payroll cost requirement from 75% to 60%, but in addition, we are now giving, instead of 8 week, you know, time frame to spend the money, what we call the covered period, now it is a 24 week period. And for some small businesses who perhaps, you know, did not, you know, lay off any employees, those who are still operating at full capacity, impacted without a doubt, right? But they could use an easy form 3508. So it's a procedure to request forgiveness that it doesn't really, it doesn't require a lot of tedious calculation, and it's a very easy process altogether. So, but great program. As I mentioned earlier, there is very little time for the PPP loan program, and still a lot of money left. So 2 weeks until June 30th, shy of that, and $120 billion that need to go.
Yeah, we're going to do our best to push this out as quick as possible, because we're going to spend that money for you.
Okay, good.
There you go. We want it all in Massachusetts, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we work, too, right here.
We're a very competitive bunch. So, yeah, we're all trying to get as many federal dollars into Massachusetts as we can. But I did want to stress something which I think is really important. So the June 30th deadline is not the deadline for the small business to walk into the door of the bank with their pile of papers looking for the loan. Okay. Because the deadline is for the bank to submit the application to the SBA for the guarantee and to obtain an SBA loan number. So the bank needs to review the small business's application to verify their payroll documentation. They might have some questions. They might need you to get some additional documentation. So my point is, don't wait until the end. Don't procrastinate. If you have not applied for a PPP loan, get with your lender now and get that application started with the lender so that you don't get knocked out because of the June 30th deadline, because the lender didn't have all the information that they needed in order to submit it to the SBA. Really, it's a big point, and because we don't want someone to show up late and for it to not get funded.
Right. Yeah. We definitely the clients that we work with, you know, we have a lot of the owner operators in those situations, and you know, the PPE. We have worked with some clients we know that did get in applications, and did, some of them were fortunate enough they got through on the first round, and they, you know, they made it then as well. So we definitely know on our side, when dealing with the manufacturers at Mass MEP, we will be encountering a lot more of these that we work with every day. So I guess kind of in that, you know, we always talk about, we focus a lot on success stories. Can both of you maybe share a success story that you've had with some of, you know, a client in some form or another that has gone through with one of your loans and then has benefited from it on the other side?
I can tell you, I think that there are 4.6 million success stories. I really do say it. So, you know, early on in this crisis, in this disaster, and not only me, everyone in my office, we were getting calls from small businesses that were absolutely panicked and stressed, and especially when we ran out of money under PPP round one and no one knew if there was going to be additional money. And, you know, it had businesses, you know, absolutely crying their eyes out in tears, not knowing how they were going to survive. But luckily we got the reappropriations, and I can tell you, when I get emails from small businesses that, you know, the loan went through, the money has shown up in their checking account, you know, it just makes my day. And I know it sounds cliche, but this is what we have been living and breathing for 3 months and with very long hours. And you know, I know of many small businesses that they've said that, the only way that they're still around right now is because of these programs. If it weren't for these programs, these businesses would be closed. And so, you know, there are countless success stories. And you know, I'm talking about your micro businesses, your sole proprietorships, your largest small businesses. I know of many, many calls from small businesses, but much appreciation for the benefit that these programs have helped with their survivability. So, Eli, I'm not sure if you have any other stories that you want to share.
Well, you know, I just want, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I get excited when I talk about numbers, right? And I think we all do on the lending side of our district office. But, you know, 45% of this 4.6 million loans were actually made in low income, you know, areas, designated low income areas. So that means that, you know, almost half, right, 45% of all the small businesses are helping the communities. They're, you know, most businesses that operate in low income communities, they employ people from low income communities. So this payroll protection loan program is helping our communities, is helping the small businesses, you know, it's helping our economy. You know, no matter how you look at it, it is a success story overall. As I shared with you earlier, 50 million jobs is what the PPP loan program has saved and kept on the payroll, basically. Right. So between, you know, between the EIDL, between the PPP loan program, between the debt relief, you know, this is the lifeline, truthfully, for small businesses. And, you know, I like Bob, I mean, I can't pinpoint any one particular case because everyone that's called us, you know, and has said, hey, we got our money, or we helped them get their money, you know, for either the PPP or the EIDL, you know, that's a success story.
And so, Eli, I know that you talked about the jobs number. So, you know, you had 2.5 million jobs in May. The other headline news that was out in May was the 17 to 18% increase in retail sales. You know, and I bring up these just because, you know, I think now is really a good time if you have not applied for a PPP to apply. And we have this short window, but get your application in. You know, all the rules are known for the most part. You know, the economy is starting to open up. And so earlier on when these businesses were getting these PPPs, you know, you had non-essential businesses that weren't operating. And we were telling them they needed to get employees off of unemployment, back on the payrolls, even if there wasn't any work for them to actually be doing in the business, but that was the goal, to get them off of unemployment, to use the PPP funds to pay payroll, and so that when the economy did reopen, you know, they have their employees, and they're not like a pure startup trying to find help. And but right where we are right now with the reopening and with all of the guidance that has come out on PPP, especially the Flexibility Act, and I can tell you honestly, you know, with the Flexibility Act, with the changes that have come through with June 5th, you look at this PPP Easy Forgiveness application, I think it's going to be really hard for businesses to not get all or most of their loan forgiven, which in the end of the day, that's what you want. Is you don't want to end up with a loan. You want this loan to be forgiven. And so under the Flexibility Act, a couple big changes which make it easier to get the loan forgiven is borrowers are not going to be penalized for forgiveness if they're unable to find qualified workers. But this is the big one, or because the business was unable to restore operations to February 15th levels due to the COVID-19 operating restrictions. So depending on the businesses and the industries that they're involved in, and you know, some of the things that came down from the governor and guidance from the CDC and others, you know, businesses weren't fully operational. And so, you know, they could, you know, they should be able to use this Easy Forgiveness application, which, as Eli mentioned, it's, you know, one page, some simple math calculations, then some certifications on the second page. It's really a simple document, and this is because of the Flexibility Act. And, you know, so again, now is a wonderful time if you have not accessed these funds. And I know that there are businesses, I've gotten emails over the last couple of days from businesses who, you know, canceled their PPP loans. They didn't think it was for them. But now they're giving it a second thought, and they're saying, hey, can I apply again? And they can, as long as their original application was canceled. You know, if they don't have an approved PPP loan, you can only have one. Okay. But, you know, apply, they can apply again. And, you know, so I've spoken with a couple different businesses that are doing exactly that because of the changes in the Flexibility Act. And now that they have 24 weeks to spend the money, they can spend more of the money on rent and mortgage interest and utilities. And you have the loan term for any portion that's not forgiven, which has changed from 2 years up to 5 years. Just a number of really significant changes making the PPP program that much more attractive, but the ability for the business to get it fully forgiven.
So do either of you, obviously the pandemic wasn't anything that we could foresee in, you know, through a glass ball or from a movie that's maybe been put out there. Do you see that this is going to have any changes or impacts on things moving forward in your industry on the loan side and through getting funding out in the future, kind of like a contingency or a continuity business plan moving forward? Or do you think it's one of those situations where it's going to be another, it's kind of a touch and go because you can't necessarily see into the future and know what people are going to need depending on the environment in which it's happening in?
I'll just say, so different businesses that I've spoken to over the last week since we reopened the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Portal, they're applying for those loans now because there is an unknown. There is uncertainty. You know, Massachusetts, you know, as far as the virus cases and the trends are all going in the right direction. That's why the governor is continuing to proceed with his opening plans. But, you know, we see in the news other states where, you know, virus cases are going up and other hotspots developing. And, you know, no one knows whether there's going to be a second surge down the road a little bit. So, you know, having access to those funds and the ability in order to spend the money on working capital needs, you know, with the economic injury loan, you don't have to spend the money day one. You know, you get the money and you're using it for your working capital needs of the business. And so I know a lot of businesses are using it sort of as a contingency, you know, partly just because of the unknown. Eli, any thoughts on that?
I just wanted to add, Bob, that, you know, from our perspective in the district office, our program has been a counter-cyclical program, you know, so our lending program primarily. So we know that some lenders are going to look at lending. Yes, we have this two programs available now, but the PPP is going to dry up pretty soon, you know, come June 30th or July 1st to be exact, right? And the EIDL loan fund, we don't know how much more money we've got or how much longer that's going to be available. So definitely encourage folks to apply for those two programs, you know, get the maximum they can get under the EIDL. If there's any money left over, folks can request an increase down the road. They've got up to 6 months to submit paperwork to request an increase, obviously subject to funding. But, you know, we know from a lending perspective that because of all the uncertainty out in the marketplace, lenders are not going to be as open to additional funding for small businesses. So for the most part, you know, what happens in that instant is that, you know, the agency, our credit enhancement products through the 7(a) loan program are going to be more desirable for lenders. And you know, for small businesses who think that, you know, the audience here today and folks who are just trying to gauge as to where they are, where they're going, if they feel that they're in a good spot now where they would get a lender to bless, you know, additional funding, a line of credit perhaps, working capital line of credit, We've got on a temporary basis an express loan program that goes up to $1 million for a working capital line of credit. So we highly encourage it that folks do that. They apply now just to have that cushion. And obviously we do have loans, again, made prior to September 27th. We'll get 6 months worth of principal and interest paid by the government. So I want folks to know that if they feel that they need that type of a cushion, right, that sort of working capital emergency fund to have to apply, you know, to do so in the summertime. Tends to be slow time anyways, despite COVID. No one's got the crystal ball. We only know what we know, and this is definitely a different environment. This is a different economy than the one we're accustomed to. I have spoken to numerous businesses. They're rethinking their whole business strategy. They're rethinking their business model, and I'm sure a lot of the folks, you know, on the audience today, you know, they're doing the same thing. So they're seeing how this COVID is affecting their business. They're trying to figure out. And that's the beauty of small business, you know, the ingenuity of small business owners. I've heard from folks who have found opportunity in this whole, you know, pandemic. So, again, I know we're going to come out of this stronger, but it's going to take time. And, you know, it's going to take money, too. So,
yeah.
So if I can put in a plug for just one other of our traditional products, because it's just really good for manufacturers. We have what's known as a contract line of credit, where the only collateral is an assignment of the contract. And it's a way to get cash into the business pretty early in the cycle so that they can perform under the contract. It finances 100% of the labor, the materials, and the overhead so that the small business can perform under the contract. So if they're talking to their lender, the lender might not be comfortable lending to them. They can get a 75% guarantee from the SBA on these contract lines, and it's not going to mess up any other collateral that has been pledged for other debt obligations, because the collateral can just be an assignment of the contract proceeds. So I just put a plug out for that, because that could be something that could be more attractive, and we want to make sure that small businesses know about that product.
Yeah. Bob and Eli, are there other programs or resources that you make available to small businesses, you know, like recovery information in other languages, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, so absolutely. So as far as other languages, if you go onto SBA's website or even Treasury's website, you can get all of the information on the recovery programs in 19 different languages. So it's really an incredible work in order to get that up and published and available. Over the last 3 days, we've been doing a major push to reach underserved communities so that they know about the upcoming June 30th deadline for PPP. We did a town hall for African American small businesses a couple days ago, where we had 1,000 registrants. The next day we did one for Latino entrepreneurs. We did that in Spanish. And I think that there were, you know, 400 registrants for that last night. We did the AAPI community. I can tell you, we've been working really strong and hard trying to make sure that everyone knows about all the different programs. But I don't think we have enough time to go through all the different things that we have in the toolbox, because we have international trade programs, export finance. Our resource partner network is amazing. So you think of the small business development centers, our SCORED network, our Women's Center, our Veterans Business Outreach Center. These are all resources that have been helping people with EIDL applications, with PPP applications, but they've been also doing a lot of work with businesses as far as, you know, what is your business going to look like in the new normal? You know, how do you pivot? And a lot of workshops and trainings. It's all free of charge. These are passionate, dedicated folks, and there are resources available. So small businesses don't need to think that they're alone here.
And just to add to that, Bob, you know, our government contracting division, you know, we have a great team at the district office. What we make available to small businesses who are either in the business of providing a service or a product to the government, we provide certain certifications, you know, so they get to compete for the sole source and other types of government contracts. And the government is the largest, you know, buyer of goods and services in the nation. That's in any given year, not just this year. This year, you know, in any given year, the government spends about, you know, $600 billion in goods and services. This year, just the CARES Act and the stimulus packet was a $2.2 trillion expenditure, right? So this year is the oddity, of course. But yeah. In any regular time, right, we see, you know, a large amount of money spent for goods and services that the government buys. Of that money, 23% needs to go to small businesses. So most agencies are mandated with, you know, a number where they have to designate certain contracts to small businesses, either, you know, as a sole source or a set aside, you know, for disabled veterans, for minority owned businesses. And I know that a lot of your manufacturers, you know, could take advantage of, you know, government contracting. They can perhaps retool their shop to provide a product to the government if they haven't thought about it. You know, it's a great way to diversify sources of revenues. And again, the United States government is not only, you know, a good customer to have, but it's a repeat business. So want folks to be aware of that. And through the network, our partner network, we have what's called the Procurement and Technical Assistance Center. So they help small businesses with bidding for these government contracts, getting them ready for this information. And that's all through the Small Business Development Center network that it's a great partner of the SBA.
That's awesome. So, and Bob, I think you kind of touched on this. To the both of you, do you have any insight on how this pandemic might reshape the small business landscape? Are there some steps that small businesses might be able to take to be more resilient moving forward? What do you think?
So one thing that I would suggest that folks do is to sign up for the Massachusetts email updates. And what they would do is go sba.gov/updates. They'll put in their zip code. It'll ask for an email address. If it's a Massachusetts zip code, you're going to get Massachusetts email updates. It's the way that we're pushing out information on all the different events and opportunities and changes to the different programs and information on new programs as they come out and are released. So I would definitely suggest that folks sign up for that e-blast. We're not going to kill your email box, but it certainly will be timely, accurate information. But we highlight the workshop opportunities that our partners are doing. And again, you know, they're doing workshops on how to recreate your business post-COVID and how to pivot, you know, what you should be looking at. Definitely different specific industry targeted webinars and trainings. And it is going to be a new normal, at least for the foreseeable future. And, you know, it's things have changed. But luckily, small businesses are flexible. They're able to adapt and they pivot. But we have help to guide them so that they don't feel like they're alone, that they can build a consensus for their ideas, to validate their ideas through these free resources. And I would suggest that they connect with all of us. And we have an amazing partner network, which is not just our formal resource partner network, but our community partners.
Yeah.
And Haley, one thing that I do want to add to that, you know, no two businesses are alike, you know, no two industries are alike, and they're never going to be affected the same way. You know, we've seen businesses, you know, the majority of the business have been affected negatively by the pandemic, but there's been some businesses that actually have seen growth and they've seen, you know, expansion. So that's, you know, like I say, there's not a one type of a solution for all types of businesses, but the one common denominator that we see across the board is, you know, folks their people, their employees are the widgets, taking care of staff, taking care of their employees, retaining talent, which this programs that we've been talking about, the Paycheck Protection Loan Program specifically, does a good job at it. You know, so for those businesses that have been closed and they're gradually opening up, keeping their staff, their trained people on payroll, it's going to allow them to, you know, to be a turnkey operation as soon as they get the green light. So, you know, I think if we see, you know, if we see additional spikes down the road, you know, in the fall and whatnot, hopefully not. But, you know, if that's the case, that's the one common denominator, I would say, that folks need to keep in mind, that, you know, people are, you know, they're most, I guess, trusted in the company, and you, small businesses always look out for the best benefit, the best interest. They have the best interest at heart for their employees. But at the same time, I see it no matter what industry, that seems to be the case. Folks have had a hard time finding good talent, you know, retaining talent. So again, just think that this programs do help in that front.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we have seen on the manufacturing side with some of the clients we work with is it's the plan. And now, you know, they maybe had a plan in the past, but now they really need to make sure that, like what you're saying, Eli, with their employees and the employees knowing that they have a plan and that they can support them and that they will find a way to support them. It keeps that loyalty there. And so mm-hmm. when they do return, they're right back up to where they when they left off when we, you know, we refer to it as Friday the 13th for us, because that's kind of when we signify it the best. But it really makes a huge difference when they know that they have the plan, that they have the support, and that they're going to be there for them. And we've realized that as well in our transition and seeing a lot of our clients, like you said, they did find the silver lining, they did pivot, and they've become successful out of such a, you know, disruptional time. So it's impressive, like, you know, knowing that, and, you know, it's like the snowflakes, no two snowflakes are the same. What you're saying is they're all completely different. It's just finding what works best for you. But now that you say that, it's definitely true that the employee is, that's the common denominator across every single one of them, and keeping them there. So both of you kind of seem pretty positive and moving forward. You feel like as we move forward and we come out of this, that we will be, you know, obviously there's going to be some rebuilding time financially and where we're going, but you do see that we can come through this on the other side.
I would say so. You know, so in any cycle, you know, there are going to be businesses that, you know, are able to pivot and able to react and to, you know, start doing new things and generating sales, new ways that they never thought possible before. But there are going to be some businesses that decide that it's best for them to close. There are going to be other businesses that will make the decision that they should sell the business, that, it, you know, the time is right for them to exit. So we have folks that can help with helping to determine what the right price is, what the exit strategies should be in order for that business to be most successful, to get the highest price. You know, so there are folks available to help these small businesses. But there's more money out there, which is coming to small businesses and medium-sized small businesses. So a program that we didn't talk about, it's not an SBA program, but it's another program that was authorized under the CARES Act, and it's called the Main Street Lending Program. I'm not sure if you've heard of that, but it's being managed by the Federal Reserve Bank. And I know they just launched it a couple days ago, where they're looking for lenders to sign up to become Main Street lenders as part of that program. But it's a $600 billion lending program, where the bank makes the loan. The minimum loan sizes are $250,000, but they go up pretty significantly. I'm not sure whether the largest loan size is $35 million, but you know, you're talking some pretty big businesses that could tap into Main Street lending funds. And the way that that program works is the bank makes the loan, 95% of the loan gets sold to the Fed. So the bank has their liquidity back. Their exposure in the transaction is reduced because of the participation in the transaction. But, you know, this is $600 billion of a new program, which is just starting right now. So this is another pool of capital that is going to be making its way into the hands of small, medium, and also large small businesses. But this is all capital that businesses need and our economy needs in order to continue on with the recovery.
That's great. So in moving forward with this, for us, from what I hear from both of you today, is if anybody has any questions, they aren't sure where they stand, not sure what loan they may need to go for, what they should apply for, they just really need to get in touch with you. You're going to offer them the services to help them figure out what fits them, where they move forward, give them all the information, and help them get the funds that they need at this time. And obviously, there's money out there. So if you just go out there, do the research, and let's get on board with this, get your application submitted. We obviously have some deadlines. So let's kind of, if you want, go back through, let's come back through some of the websites where we want people to direct them to so that they know where to go to get the information. Let's give some dates to kind of get those in their minds. We're going to try and get our podcast out there so that they still have some more time after listening to us as well. And let's just kind of cap all this up for them in a nice little package. So coming out of this, they're going to go, that's what I'm doing as soon as I'm done listening to this podcast. Or if they're listening to it, maybe they're on their device at that moment or computer, whatever it may be, and they're accessing the websites as we speak. So let's kind of run through those, if you guys wouldn't mind, the best places for them to go to access all this information.
So to find two websites that has all of the information, so through Treasury, it's treasury.gov/cares. You'll click on a red tab at the top that talks about COVID-19, and all of the different programs and resources are listed through Treasury's website. The Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Loan Program, the Debt Relief Program. We didn't talk about our SBA Express Bridge Loan, but you know, if you want a centralized website with all the information, treasury.gov/cares, or the SBA website is sba.gov/paycheck protection. And that's all the information is listed there. But to apply for an economic injury loan, it's through sba.gov/disaster. And Eli, other, yeah, so we want you to sign up for our newsletter. So sba.gov/updates. Eli, what are the other things that we want to make sure people know?
So deadlines, you know, I just want to reiterate, you know, that the Paycheck Protection Loan Program has a final and, you know, deadline that's coming fast, you know, so June 30th, 2020 is the ultimate last day a lender can submit a loan to the SBA, a PPP loan, which means that you need to hand in your paperwork well in advance of that day so lenders can actually work on your application, ask any questions, and get additional information from you if needed.
Eli, for them to get that paperwork, they go to their lender to get that paperwork?
Yes. So the Paycheck Protection Loan Program is not a direct SBA loan program like the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, which is done on our website. So that is done through a lending partner. We have 5,500 plus lenders nationwide. Majority of them are still taking applications. So we do have a web on our website under the sba.gov/paycheck protection/find. You can plug in your zip code and get a listing of lenders that are participating in the PPP loan program. So in addition to the June 30th deadline I mentioned earlier for the debt relief, you know, September 27th is the ultimate last deadline that a loan can be approved and still qualify. An SBA loan, a 7A, can be approved and qualify for the 6 months worth of principal and interest payments. and for, you know, a 504 loan program that's actually coming faster. So it's August 12th. That is the last day that the certified development company, which is a partner of the SBA, submits the paperwork to our district council. So the less time on the 504 loans, greater urgency there. But I'm pretty sure a lot of the manufacturers who qualify, they've already looked at it. It is by far the best option out there. I mean, rates under 3% for 25-year repayment, you know, and to add to that 6 months worth of principal and interest paid by the government, it doesn't get any better. Lastly, we do have for the Paycheck Protection Loan Program, we've got a safe harbor date, and that date was pushed from June 30th, 2020. It was pushed out 6 months to December 31st of 2020. So what a safe harbor does, in a sense, is a small business who took out a PPP loan program and could not meet all the requirements under the program as far as maintaining the full-time employee levels or maintaining wage and salary levels for the 24-week period. If they restore both, so full-time equivalents, and salary and wage levels to the levels they had prior to the pandemic, and the date for that is February 15th of 2020.
Okay.
Then if they restore everything by December 31st, 2020, then they will not get penalized.
Okay.
So the Flexibility Act did give them that added benefit, the extended period of time, another, 6 months there. So again, those are some important dates for people to remember.
And then the EIDL loan, or as I'll say it for everybody, what is the actual wording for those?
So economic injury disaster loan.
There you go.
And that is also December 31st of 2020.
Okay.
Or subject to funding availability, of course.
Right. Okay. All right. And then obviously we'll have all of this on our website as well at massmep.org. So anybody can go to our website. It was a great, is there anything else that you guys feel are important points you want to hit today? You obviously went over a lot of stuff. I think the audience is going to be really excited about the information that you put out there. The point of us doing this is to help educate, our clients and our audience in giving them insight onto what is happening. Obviously you can read and you can hear, but when you hear things, it's not actually coming from the direct source itself. You may get a little confused, but coming directly from the both of you and providing this information to them is a great resource for us to be able to offer out to our audience and to our clients and to any of the manufacturers out there that maybe we aren't currently with, but hopefully one day we will be working with in the future. And it's just a great way to get them educated, have a full understanding, and know it's coming directly from the horse's mouth. This is what's out there for you, and this is what's available. So thank you both so much. Was there anything else that you thought you'd like to hit home with?
Haley, I just want to thank you and MassMEP for the partnership, and we look forward to doing more together to help our manufacturers here in the Commonwealth. And whatever we can do to personally assist, we're just an email or phone call away. So don't be shy and let us know how we can help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Awesome. So thank you both for joining us today for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. If you need any further information, you can always visit us at massmep.org, and you can subscribe on your iTunes or Spotify channel to the MassMEP Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.